And now on Nights with Steve Price, the 50 Up Club with Kayleigh Harris.
Right here with me. Hi, Kayleigh Harris.
Good evening, Michael. How are you?
Very good. Nice to see you again. Now, important news coming through this week. We are finally seeing some action from Canberra on energy prices. Whether it delivers or not, we don't know, but they're talking about it at least.
Isn't it about time? Mind you, they're talking about a saving of about $115 a year by 2020. I mean, really.
And is that based off 2017 prices or what the prices will be in 2020?
Exactly right. Well, how would you know?
More than what they are now.
Whilst we want to be positive that the government is making some moves towards it, it just seems like when you're talking about a bill of around $2,000 a year, which is what South Australians are paying, and the rest of us around $1,500, it just doesn't seem like a lot, does it? So hopefully we'll see further developments with that. But it's positive news. I don't know, the clean energy target, there's a whole bunch of factors in here that have come into play that have upset both sides of politics, but we'll see how it all plays out. I just think it's a little too far away to help a lot of people.
Yeah, I think you're right. And the average person knows, because they see this with their bills, and the ACCC's head, Rod Sims, pointed this out, that energy prices have risen 63% in just the past decade. So people are saying, well, look, that's the track record. What's going to change that from here on in?
Well, 63% in the past decade after adjustments, but it's 90% in real terms. And when you put it that way, it's a massive amount of money. And look, as we've been banging on about for ages at the 50 Up Club, and it was confirmed by Rod Sims this week that if you haven't phoned up your retailer in the past couple of years and asked for a better offer, Rod Sims saying, I urge you to do so. I think you'll save a lot of money. As we say as well, you could save yourself hundreds of dollars. Just pick up the phone.
And you can. This isn't just something that you say. I mean, this does happen.
Yeah, it is so competitive. Yeah, exactly. And it's a very aggressive market at the moment. If you threaten to walk, believe me, they'll do you a better deal.
Yeah, I mean, I just think, generally speaking, that this power situation's been the most clear example of a complete abrogation of responsibilities from elected representatives. I mean, they're there to keep us safe, first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
But they're also there to make our life better. I mean, otherwise, what's the point of electing them? But it's just so stupid in a nation, Kayleigh, that has all the resources that we have, that we have almost the highest power prices in the world. If we had no coal and no uranium and no gas and no this and that,
exactly,
you think, well,
right,
okay, that makes sense. You've got to import it all. But we've got it all here, and yet some of the places we export it to can produce energy cheaper than we can.
And you know what really brings it home, Mike, I think, is we hear from the, from a lot of our members and older Australians who are foregoing really important things like dental bills. They're eating canned food. They're going to bed early in winter so they can, not have to put the heater on.
Mm.
When you're talking about those sorts of drastic things happening in a first world country like Australia in 2017, it's just not good enough.
No, it's not. I think there's a positive step taking away the subsidies for renewable energy by 2020. I mean, like anything, you either stand on your own 2 feet or you sink.
Yeah, but as the ACCC pointed out, that only makes up 7% of the household bill. There, the cost of networks or so-called gold plating is making up 48% of bills. Wholesale cost represents 22%, retail 16%. So, the clean energy, whilst it's only a small part, it's certainly getting a lot of attention in the media.
I was saying to Andrew Bolt last night, I'm not sure he agrees with me, which gets me worried because I tend to think he's on the mark here. But I was saying, I don't know, people are saying privatisation's the fault. People are saying the green scheme's the fault. Look, I think they all have a role in this. But what I seem to see as the problem is that energy, just like water, has gone from being an essential item or ingredient in everyday life and treated as such to a profit-making commodity.
Yes.
Now, that's more easily brought on when you privatise. But nonetheless, if only we could get the mindset back with energy, with water, these essentials, that's exactly what they are. They're essential services, they're essential goods, and they should be delivered at cost price and maybe nothing more. Instead of sellable commodities where you let the market rip and they can compete and have profits.
And you know what? They know that we need it, obviously.
Well,
what worries me is that, is water going to follow? I mean, water
has.
Yeah,
it has.
Not to the level, obviously, of electricity, but is it going to go through the roof as well? And just people just can't afford it. They're really doing it tough out there, and that's what they're telling us.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's that. Now, what about some advice on minimising the cost of travel insurance?
Well, interestingly, have you ever wondered, when you go online to an airline and you go to book your seat and you book all your travel, you book your flights essentially. At the end of it, you get asked 6 million questions.
Yeah, do you want a hotel, a car?
Extra leg room? Do you want meals? Do you want insurance? Yeah. I click the little travel insurance if I need it. I'm always amazed at how little it is. It seems to be, like $10 or something for a policy. And I've always wondered how they work it out. Well, we did some research this week on the 50 Up Club with Phil Sylvester from Travel Insurance Direct. Mm-hmm. He told us some really interesting stuff. He says, if you're planning to travel to remote locations, and one of the ones he mentioned was Nepal, there has been a huge increase in the amount of people that have had to helicopter out of high altitudes in Nepal because they've got altitude sickness, and the cost is phenomenal. So as people, I guess, as the baby boomers are aging, they're out there doing more adventurous travel and going to places like Antarctica and trekking all over the place, you need to think about that. The other thing you need to think about is where you're going is the US is a big one. Your travel insurance is going to cost you a fortune because medical costs in America are huge. It can cost you upwards of $100,000 for you to be medevaced out of one of these countries if you do fall injured. So it's well worth having it. The other thing is your age. Now, I like to think, I'm over 50. I like to think I'm reasonably fit. But unfortunately, I fit in with a cohort of people who have got, dicky tickers and we're likely to fall over us oldies more often. And do you know what else? If we go to Bali and hire a little motorbike like this, you tend to do, if you're a young person and you fall off, you're probably back out of, hospital, hopefully within a couple of days. We oldies don't recover so quickly. So that's got to be taken into consideration. So no matter how fit you are as an older Australian, you're unfortunately in a group of people who recover less quickly.
And insurance policies reflect it.
Exactly. And you're more likely to, obviously the longer you travel, the more, your insurance is going to increase. And surprisingly, further down the track was terrorism and natural disasters.
Well, you can't get insurance for terrorism. I don't think you can. We've tried going to Europe a number of times, considering what happens there, has happened recently, and none of the policies that we know of would pay out if you felt you had to leave the area because of an imminent terrorist threat or, indeed, an attack that had occurred.
Well, my understanding, I'm not sure we should, we could check this, but my understanding is that if it hadn't been known beforehand and it happened, I believe you are covered. But if, like you said, if there is, I guess media reports that it's imminent,
that it's
that's
possible.
Right, then you could be
they won't cover it.
In strife. Yeah, exactly.
I'm not an expert, but I've looked around a bit. None will pay out if you say, oh, look, I'm in Salzburg, but, there was a bomb went off at Linz or in Vienna, and I'm edgy, I want to get out of here, and can I claim my flights and my accommodation back that I'm not going to use? They said, no.
That's right. And the same as if you want to go to the Caribbean after the recent, hurricanes through there, there's no hotels there. They've all, come down so that you can't try and claim your insurance there. But it's a very interesting space. But,
Wouldn't it
be good if we could afford a holiday, wouldn't it,
Well,
Michael?
That's the other thing. I mean, this is all hypothetical, Kayleigh, because here we are in the studio. But
that's
anyway,
right.
Someone's having fun. Take care. Nice to see you again.
You too.
Kayleigh Harris from the 50 Up Club.